Beat it. Tell them how glad you are to see him here this morning. Amen. And you can be seated. I tell you what, we are certainly glad to see you here this morning. We're just so blessed and delighted to have a wonderful church family. Amen. Amen. Well, before we get into the Word, let me say this. Well, while I'm saying this, let the ushers be handing out Bibles to those who need them. If you don't have a Bible this morning and you would like one, our ushers, they'll be in the aisles now to give you a Bible. Our goal here is to teach you the Word of God. And just like in a natural classroom, you'd have a textbook. The Bible is our textbook for life, but we're going to teach it in a much funner way than school, unless you had a good teacher. But anyway, while they're handing out the Bibles, if you don't have one at all, now you do, that Bible's yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason you weren't able to bring it with you this morning, you can give it back to the ushers at the end of service. While they're passing out those Bibles, let me remind everyone about our canned food drive. I encourage you, bring a can. I know you can, so bring your can. That's something we all can do, is bring food for our food drive. Our goal is to feed those who are hungry and are in need of food. That's what we got our life truck to do. You bring the food here as a distribution center almost, and then we'll take the food to those who need it with the life truck. I was telling first service this past week, I was reading in the book of Acts. And you can see very clearly that when God was establishing his church, and when the church was getting going with such purity of force, you see something happen in the hearts of the people. It's very interesting. You see a new type of compassion come in their hearts. I mean, you see people who own lands and own multiple houses sell the stuff that they have. I mean, just sell it, bring it to the church, and give it to people who they never met before. They didn't even know their names, but they saw a need and they met a need. Friends, you see that happen twice in the book of Acts, where they're distributing to the saints what is needed because people out of their strength, out of their abundance, were giving to those in need. And friends, I want to encourage you, there's nothing purer in Christianity than a heart of compassion that's opened up to someone. And I want to encourage you in this, do what you can. You know, and I believe that all of us can bring a canned good, whether it's one from your pantry or whether it's five from Kroger or a case of 50 from Sam's. All of us can do something, but open up your heart of compassion and let the love of Christ flow through you. Friends, I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious than that. In fact, it's a good way to measure spiritual growth. We've been talking about this on Wednesday nights, growing up spiritually. And we said that one of the key ways you can tell whether or not you're growing up spiritually is this. When compassion starts replacing judgment, you're growing up spiritually. When you walk like Jesus did through the publicans and sinners, you don't see someone in need of judgment like the Pharisees saw. You see someone who's sick and needs a physician, who needs help, and so your heart of compassion is opened unto him. Friend, that's a beautiful thing, and that's the one thing that Christianity can give this world that no other religion can, is a heart of compassion motivated by nothing but love. I want to encourage you, open up your heart of compassion and bring the cans that you can bring so that we can help hurting people. Amen? Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Zechariah. I know that sounds intimidating, but it's actually pretty easy to find. You go to Matthew and then go back two books of the Bible and you'll run into Zechariah. It's right before Malachi there in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 4. And we are going to read a passage of Scripture here, starting in verse 6. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice what it says here. It says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice, and they shall see plummet in the hands of Zerubbabel with those seven which are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Notice the word of the Lord came unto Zerubbabel saying some things. We'll start backwards and work our way forwards. He said unto him, don't despise the day of small things. I like that. He was saying, just because your life looks small now, what you're doing is small now, don't despise that. God can take something out of that. You know, I love the story of the boy with five loaves and two fish. He just took what was in his hands and put it over in God's hands. And God took something small and fed a multitude. He multiplied it. It's the same way with us. What you have right now may not be great in your eyes, but don't despise it. God can take you from that place. I was telling First Service, I was reading a story about Marie Callender. And I'm sure many of you have seen some of her items and goods in a supermarket. You know, Marie Callender pies or TV dinners. Well, she's also got restaurants. You know how she started? It was very, very small. She was a waitress working at a local restaurant years and years ago. And the owner of the restaurant needed someone to make desserts for the evening shift. And so he came to her and said, basically, if you want to keep your job waitressing here, you're going to have to get here early in the mornings and make some desserts for the evening crowd. Well, she didn't really enjoy doing that, and she wasn't going to get paid anymore, but she wanted to keep her job. So she agreed to it, and that's how she got started. She'd come in there that morning, and just such a small thing, but make desserts for the evening shift. She began making it. She realized she had a gift for it. And her customers and the people who ate the pies knew someone had a gift for it too. And so they started asking, who makes your desserts? Then they started wanting those desserts for their events. And so she got a little equipment and through her home started baking some things as an outsourced business for people who needed pies and cakes for events and whatnot. That grew from her house to a little store, from a store to more stores, all the way to your freezer. Just a little woman making pies with what she had. Friend, no matter where you're at in life, God can take something that's very small and make it great. But the key is, you and I have to learn how God works. God works in some awesome ways. And the way that he works is exactly how he told Zerubbabel he works. Let me give you a little background on Zerubbabel. What a name. We'll call him Big Z. Big Z had it on his heart to build a temple for his God, for the Lord God. And so he started out on this great endeavor. And through starting, you know, just like any type of building, the first thing you lay is a foundation. And so he started working on that. And while he's working, it seems like everything breaks loose against him. People rise up and try to stop him. The funds dry up. And he's trying, buddy, but he's frustrated. He's doing everything he knows to do in his natural might to make it work, to build this thing, but nothing's happening. He can't get any further than the foundation. 10 years passed by. 10 years. And he got no further than the foundation that he first laid. He's frustrated. He gives up in it. He despised that day of small beginnings and he wasn't going to continue doing what he knew he should do. He's tired. He's worn out. And Zechariah comes to him and he's going to introduce to Big Z a new way of living. a new kind of life. It's the kind of life that the Lord introduced to me a couple of years ago. It's a new kind of life. It's a sweeter life. It's a life that's light and easy. But you got to know how to work it. And Zechariah comes to Big Z, Zerubbabel here. He tells him, from now on, it'll not be by your might. It'll not be by your power. But it'll be by the Spirit of the Lord. And when the Spirit of the Lord starts working through your life, the mountain that's in front of you will be made into a plain. I like the Amplified. He says it'll be made into a molehill. Then he says, not only that, the mountain that's in front of you will be made into a plain, but you'll be bringing up the capstone. The capstone was the headstone, the last stone you put on the building. Basically, he was saying this foundation that's being laid here for 10 years, you'll not only finish it out, but you'll be able to put the capstone on it. Finish what you started. There'll be grace and grace for you. Life will get easier. And he'll take this day of small things and turn it into something great. If you learn to live, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I was driving Tuesday up Lakeland Drive. I was driving in my car praying, coming up here to the church. And while I was driving, I was praying, and these words just kept coming up in my heart. It doesn't have to be hard. Well, what doesn't have to be hard? Anything. Increasing, it doesn't have to be hard. Growing a business, it doesn't have to be hard. Marriage, raising kids, it doesn't have to be hard. Growing a company, it doesn't have to be hard. Closing sales, it doesn't have to be hard. Living doesn't have to be hard. Jesus said, if you're stressed out and overworked, you need to do something. You need to come to me. And you need to take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Find peace and rest unto your souls. So if I'm stressed out and it's hard and it's difficult, it means I need to learn something. See, back then in those days, taking the yoke upon someone was what a rabbi called his master's teaching. When a student would sit underneath his master, he would say, I'm taking the yoke, the teaching of this master on my life. And Jesus was saying, if you're stressed out, you need to do something. If you're heavy laden, you need to do something. Come and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you, my teaching upon you, because it's going to produce light and easy. And friend, I'm telling you, it does. And a big key, I mean a big key to living this type of life where it's not done by your might or your power, but it's done by the Spirit of the Lord. A big key is patience. We inherit the promises of God not just by faith, but by faith and patience. And we got to be patient to wait on the Lord to make everything beautiful in its time. See, God's got a time for everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. God's got a time for everything. And it closes it out by saying, and God makes everything beautiful in His time. God's got a time for it. The other day I was walking out there where we're going to build phase 2. I was asking the Lord when to build it, how are we going to build it. As I was walking, my foot hit something in the ground, and I looked down. It was just the edge of something sticking up, and so I brushed it off and saw that it looked like the end of a hammer, like a homemade hammer. And so I dug it out from under the ground, and it was just this rustic hammer where the top of the hammer had been joined together, not by a manufacturing machine, but by nails, and it was just a really cool hammer. And the Lord started dealing with me that when I do build, it'll be just like building this building. Light and easy. And so I gave that hammer. I brought it back and was showing some of the guys in the back room before service. And they took it and made it into this beautiful piece of art where I could hang it on my wall. And they gave it to me this morning. And as I was looking at it this morning, I was reminded of a piece of steel back there holding this facility up. It's a big piece of steel right behind that wall. I was reminded when we did our prayer walk and I wrote on that piece of steel, Habakkuk chapter 2. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Don't just try to make it happen in your own strength. When the vision looks like it's tearing, don't fall over into a place where you're trying to push it to make it happen. Wait for it will surely come. God's got a time for everything in your life. And there is a big difference between God adding something to you and you adding something to you. There's a big difference. Let God add to you the things you want to see happen in life. It's a secret to a light and easy life. I was thinking about this in the back room in between services. My life is easy. I have no complaints. And I look at building this church, it was easy. It was easy to do. It wasn't laborsome. It wasn't hard. I think about how I met my wife. It was easy. I was so good looking. I mean, it just... I know what you're all wondering when she gets up to do the announcements. The welcome. How did she get me? I know you're wondering that. I know you... No, if anything, it's the exact opposite, right? God added it. I think about the house we're living in now. We weren't even looking to buy a house. We were just out having fun. And we walked in this house. And I kid you not, as soon as I stepped over the threshold of the house, the Lord said, "This is your house." Just in my heart, I knew it. I mean, I knew it as clear as day. I looked over towards the realtor who I just already told, "We're not going to buy a house. We're just out here having fun." And said, "I'm going to buy this one." She looked at me like I'd lost my mind. I said, "This is our house." I said, "I want to put a contract in for it." She said, "Well, let me take you to some other homes first." I said, "Okay, but this one's mine." Later that afternoon, we wrote a contract for it. They accepted our first offer. Then we put our house up for sale. Put our house up for sale. The first people who came to look at it, I was praying and the Lord said, "Bake some cookies. Bake some cookies. Bake some cookies." So I told my wife, "We got to bake some cookies." So she baked some cookies and set them out in front and took the lid off where the aroma would get in the house. Then at another point, the Lord said, "Light this candle." And so I went over and lit the candle. These people come in, look at our house. It's the first time they looked at it. The first people who came to look at the house. Right after they looked at it, the realtor called our realtor and said, "They want to know two things. Who made those cookies and where can we buy that candle?" That's the truth. You can ask my wife. A couple of days later, they made an offer in the house. I didn't even have to make a counter offer. A couple of weeks after that, we were in the house that the Lord told me, "This is your house." The Lord added the house to me. It wasn't stressful. It wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult. It wasn't burdensome. It wasn't laborsome. He added it. See, this is what I'm getting at. It's a big difference when the Lord adds something to you and when you add something to you. It's a big difference. And you got to learn, and I have to learn, how to be patient with the Lord and wait on His timing and let Him do what He's going to do. Faith is a rest. It's not pushing all the time. It's not trying to make things happen by might and strength. Faith is a rest. It's a trust in God. We got to learn to be patient that in time, God will make everything beautiful in its time. I was thinking about the story of Esther. You remember her? Here's just a girl. The king was married to a woman who wouldn't answer at his beck and call. He beckoned her to come to a feast. And she said, I don't want to. I'm staying in my room. And so he cut her off, literally, and said, we got to find a new queen. They put out a petition. Put out a petition in the land. We're trying to find a new queen for the king. Mordecai, who was at that time watching over Esther, positioned Esther in a place, and the favor of the Lord came upon her. I mean, the hand of the Lord came upon her. And all these other ladies stood before the king, and they decked themselves out in such a way to try to make themselves appealing to him. And Esther just walks up. She doesn't take any time to look in the mirror. She's just walking up. But the favor of God is on her. Later, Mordecai told her, you've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Out of all the people that he could have picked, the king picked her. She became a queen in the land, and you see how she was able to direct the king's heart towards the Jews and save them. And you see how her life was just blessed, and through her, Mordecai was blessed, and the Jews were blessed, and even the king was blessed. God added it. God did it. God put her in that place. There's a big difference between you trying to add something to you and God adding something to you. We got to be patient to wait on the Lord. Don't just try to go out and just increase your life or bring something into your life. Wait on the Lord to get His plan. God is not obligated to bless any plan that's not His. We say it all the time. It's one thing to do something and ask God to do it and bless it. It's a whole nother thing to do the thing that God is telling you to do. That's already blessed. Go to the book of John. I'll show you this here in Jesus' ministry. The book of John. There is no more successful enterprise on this earth than the kingdom of God. That's a fact. The kingdom of God has stood the test of time. Not only has it stood the test of time, it has continually grown. Throughout that time, nations have fallen. Nations that were once great aren't even in existence anymore, but the kingdom of God kept going. Businesses that were once at the top of their game have fallen apart, but the kingdom of God keeps growing and expanding and getting greater. I guarantee you more revenue has passed through the kingdom of God than anything else on this earth. Not only has it grown, but it's stood in the test of time. So if you want to see how to grow a business or how to increase in life, yes, you can study Walmart, that's wonderful, or study these other companies or men who built great companies of days gone by. But friend, I'm telling you, there's no greater success story than the kingdom of God. How it started and how it founded is something that's continually increasing even to this day. We know the kingdom of God was first established and ratified in the earth today by our King Jesus. And Jesus stepped on this earth, and his purpose in life was to be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and to set up a kingdom that would know no end, but would consume the entire earth. And in this, you see Jesus. He knows he can't just go about doing this in his own strength. He can't just go about doing it the way he wants to do it. He stays within the Lord's timing. I'll give you an example over here in the book of John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and let's look here in verse 14. John chapter 6 and verse 14. And said, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this was the miracle where he multiplied the food and fed the multitudes, said, this is the truth, that the prophet should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I thought your goal was to be a king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here you got some people that are ready to make you a king based off all the miracles you've done. Your fame is spreading. And Jesus knew it wasn't time yet. Was it his destiny? Yes. Was it time for him to step into it? No, that wasn't the way. And Jesus knew it. You got to know, it's one thing to know destiny. It's another thing entirely to go about fulfilling it God's way. See, oftentimes we get something on our heart, whether it's a house or whether it's a car, or whether it's a job or whether it's a position or a new level of living or a new type of influence or greater sales or greater numbers. And there's pressure from everyone, pressure from family, pressure from if you have a public company for the company to grow, pressures for employees to have paychecks, and you're dealing with all of these pressures. And if we're not careful, we can know we're supposed to be here in our heart, and we'll start going after it, trying to do everything in our flesh to make it happen, to just make it through it. Like Zerubbabel, for 10 years laboring, but never getting further than the foundation, because he's doing it in his own strength. Jesus knew, that's not the way I should do it. I need to pull back and wait for the right time. I know I'm going to get there, but now's not the right time for me to attempt it. Go over to the book of John, chapter 7. You're already there, just turn probably a page over. John chapter 7 and verse 1. It's one thing for God to add something to you. I mean, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and adds no sorrow. When God adds something to your life, there's no events that would cause sorrow attached to it. It's God just coming in with his blessing and blessing you. It's one thing for that to happen. It's a whole nother thing for us to long for something to have done to us, but we try to add it to ourselves. We got to stay in God's timing. Notice this in John chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, "And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in the jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast was at the tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence and go into Judea, and thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be done openly. If thou do these things, show yourself to the world." For neither did his brother believe in him. Basically, they were saying, Jesus, his brethren were telling him this, "Jesus, you're doing all these miracles, but you're doing them in secret." There were a lot of times Jesus would heal someone and tell them, "Don't go tell it. Don't go tell it in the city." And they were saying, if the world sees this, if you do these miracles openly, you're going to have the multitudes flock to you. And watch what Jesus says here in verse 6. "And Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come." Is it coming? Yes, it is. But it's not here now. Is there a time for the world to know of Jesus? Yes, there was. But it wasn't yet. And Jesus knew it. "But your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. You go up unto the feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet fully come." When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Jesus knew his destiny, and he's got pressure on every side. Get it now. Get it now. Strike while the iron's hot. Get it now. But Jesus knew, it's just not time yet. My hour, it's not come yet. I know I'm getting there, but I know God's going to take me there, but it's just not time yet. What was Jesus waiting on? He was waiting on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The word wait on, when you hear that phrase, wait on the Lord, it doesn't just mean pray. It means exactly what it says. Wait. When you wait on the Lord and wait for His timing and step out when He tells you to, that's when you renew your strength. That's when you'll run and not grow weary. That's when you'll walk and not faint. That's when you'll mount up with wings as eagles and soar. That's a life without frustration. But you got to wait on Him. Don't step out until He tells you to. I was talking to a lady the other day. Actually, it was probably a couple of months ago, if not a year or two ago. And I was talking to her, and she is the wife of the man whose company built this church. And I got to know them on a personal level, spent a lot of time with them and seen the buildings that they've built and how God's blessed them and blessed the company and all of those things. And I'm always fascinated when I see something growing, when I see something developing and increasing. You know, you want to see how things work. How did you get from this place to where you are today? Because there's a lot of people who never get beyond the day of small things. That mountain, it never does turn from a mountain to a molehill where they get over into greater things. And so I was curious to see how did they go about doing it. And she said that there was a time in the company where she was praying. I believe she was praying about growth. And she said that as she was praying, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, no longer is it to be done by the flesh, but it's to be done by the Spirit. And she knew exactly what that meant. Basically, it was, yes, there are all types of natural ways to get clients, to get work. You can work through all different types of channels, through advertisement, through all of those things, and that all has its place. But there is a higher way. Do it by the way of the Spirit. Basically, it was, don't just throw advertisement out there to advertise. Wait on the Lord. Do it when the Lord tells you to do it. Send it out the way He tells you to send it out. Let the Holy Spirit do the work for you and draw the people in. Let Him bless what you're doing because He's the one who told you to do it. And friends, I can testify to the fact that's how it happened for me. I can remember sitting in a classroom. I wasn't even considering building this church yet. My time had not yet come. I can remember sitting there. And while he's up there talking, it was just a class of many classes, the Lord spoke to Martin and said, use him to build the church. When it comes time to build, this is who you need to use. I guarantee you it has to be one of the easiest sales pitches they've ever had to done. They weren't selling me anything. I just knew I need to use them. That's the Lord not only blessing us, but that's the Lord drawing increase to them. It was done by the Spirit. It wasn't some taxing thing trying to pull people. The Spirit of the Lord drew me to them. He put that company on my heart. I couldn't get away from it. I interviewed other companies. I couldn't get away from that one. I'm glad I didn't. But my point is how it was done. You can live life that way. Not just in business, but in every other area of life. If you learn to wait on the Lord and do things in His timing. I'll give you this example in closing. There was a man named Abraham. You all know the story. His chief desire was what? He wanted a son. He wanted a child. I mean, he wanted it more than he wanted anything. And so for years, he's waiting on the Lord. And for years, he's desiring this. And finally, the desire gets so strong, he thinks, I've got to have it now. His wife sees that desire. And so they come up with a plan. And their plan, it was all flesh. And she said, go in and sleep with my servant Hagar and let her bear a child for you. And so he did, and that child's name was Ishmael. And Ishmael was always a pain. It always caused sorrow to Abram, later to Isaac. It caused sorrow to Sarah. I mean, it was just sorrow all the way around. Once again, it's one thing for the Lord to add something to you, and he does. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich with no sorrow. It's a whole nother thing for you to add something to you. Can you add something to you? Sure. But when you do, typically it always has something attached to it. Sorrow. That's what Abraham did. He got out ahead of God. Was it God's plan for him to have a son? Yes, it was. But Abraham tried to force the issue, push it through, did it with the flesh, and it wound up biting him and hurting him. Instead of it being a blessing, it turned into a curse. Why? He got out ahead of God. He tried to make God's plan happen in his own strength instead of waiting for God's timing. Friend, I want to encourage you, wait on the Lord. Be patient with him. When he tells you to move, that's the time to act quick. That's the time to step out, but not until then. When you sense a leading to do something, that's the time to strike. But even if the iron in the natural is hot, don't strike unless the Lord tells you to. It's a way for the Lord to bring in this light and easy life to you. No longer by the flesh, let it be by God's might. Let it be by God's power. Let it be by God's Spirit. And friend, as you do that, I'm telling you, God will come in your life and make your life so much easier than ever before. I want to encourage you, wait on the Lord. Pull back from the fire and the pressure and ask God, what should I do? What direction should I take? And when he tells you to do it, step out in faith right then and there, and you'll see God's hand back you up every single time. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a wonderful audience.